Welcome to the Living Hope Podcast. Living Hope Fellowship is a church located in Lexington, Kentucky. You'll find that we're more than just a church, but we're also a family. You can learn more about the ministries of Living Hope Fellowship at www.lhfellowship.com. Now, here's today's message.
So as we get into Ephesians, we're going to be looking for a few weeks together in that. And we've been there already. You're aware of that, right? The last 2 weeks, we've been in Ephesians. And that was not accidental. It was just covering some ground there as it revolved around the crucifixion in chapter 2. We looked at that and all that's been afforded to us because of the work of the crucifixion, the greatest work that planet Earth has ever seen. And then we looked last week at the power of the resurrection, that we walk in because of what Christ has done for us, and that if we did not have that, then we would be of all people most to be pitied, according to Paul, because we'd be living a lie. But we're not living a lie, because Christ indeed did rise and is resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, and because that we have life and it has changed our life. Right? So as we focus on that, we're backing up a little bit and covering some ground that we didn't plan to ever skip. We just kind of changed the order a little bit. Whoops. There you go. You can hang on to that if you want. So just wanted you to know Miss Dixie's with us this morning. And she is. So that was her reminder to us, I think, maybe. The Lord was using that. So we are now looking at the beginning of chapter 1 in Ephesians. And in this particular passage, we're going to be unfolding just the concept of the reality of the supremacy of Christ, that really it is all about Him. This might shock you. It's not all about you. Never was. So many people have got a twisted mindset about God's heart toward His creation. We have this idea that it's all about us, and that God's greatest desire is to somehow do everything we want Him to do. It's not the way it works. God's greatest desire is for us to know Him. And in so doing, He has created a way for that to take place in Christ Jesus. And He has built everything around Himself in Christ Jesus for our benefit. And everything as it pertains to us having a relationship with Him is all about Him. We're going to see that in this first chapter, you know, as we study the book of Ephesians together for the next few weeks. Today we're looking at that idea of the supreme role of Christ. And so we're going to read these first 13 verses together, and then we're going to unfold that together and see at least six places where it's all about Him and how that affects us. Okay? And so the goal at this is aimed at us falling deeper in love with the Lord, for us to really appreciate all that God's done for us so that we'll walk in a deeper devotion to Him. And at the same time, hopefully have that thread of clarity for those who might be here today having never made a commitment of their heart to Christ, that they would say, oh man, I probably need to do that. Yeah, you do. But for those of us who have done that, that we would understand fully what God has accomplished. And that somehow as awareness, that awareness of that draws us into a deeper depth of relationship and commitment and appreciation for who He is in our life. Okay? So let's look at those verses together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus or Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So that's an important verse. We're coming back to that. Know who it's written to. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to the kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, kind of an important phrase there, having also believed, conditional, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow, that's a lot. We're going to unpack that a little bit about what God has accomplished. It's interesting as you look at this right away that you're aware that Paul is revealing, as led by the Holy Spirit, the intention for God, for us to grow in maturity in our relationship with God. He wants us to have a deeper level of commitment to the in the average believer's mindset. It's obvious that God desires all of us as children to reach that deeper level of maturity. Now, that's an interesting thing that's happening in these days. I had a conversation with somebody for quite a while yesterday about this. It seems like there is a great structural mindset around Christianity today that if you just kind of plug and play through these various steps, you automatically become one of those deeper level mature believers. It doesn't work that way. How many of you know that some people can go to an educational school, study for 4 years, get a degree, have all the addendums behind their name, you know, proving that they've got the degree, get on the job site, and be absolutely worthless? Anybody know that happens? Do you know that happens in Christianity too? There are people who get all of the details and all of the information and all the structure and all the Bible study checkoffs and all this kind of stuff. And by the way, is all that stuff bad? Of course not. It's good stuff, right? But all of that can happen and there still be no maturity. There still be no depth of relationship with the Lord. How is that possible? But it happens, right? Has something to do with the heart. It has something to do with the love relationship with God. It has something to do with understanding God's deep intention for us, and that we get a hold of that in the process of us trying to learn what we need to learn. In this chapter, God wants us to get a hold of the reality that all of this is going to revolve around what place you have in your heart as it relates to who Jesus is. What role does He play? Is He the addendum to your life? Is He somehow a tack on to the many things that you do? Or is somehow now He the hub of all that goes on in your life from a spiritual perspective? That's what He must become. And so we're going to be looking at that. I think it's very interesting as you look at this passage, you realize that Paul is writing to those who are the saints. Who is that? Is that the lost people? No, that's the saved people. So he says he's writing to the saints, and then he kind of steps up a little bit. He adds it up. And not only to the saints, but to those of you who are faithful saints. What's he saying? He said, some of you guys are mature enough to get a hold of this. Some of you are not. That can happen in the body of Christ. It all depends on where the person's heart is in submission to the Lord. So that's why oftentimes, I mean, I'm sure Pastor Derek has had this happen many times as well, but, you know, a pastor will preach his heart out on a sermon. You know, somebody will come through the line and they'll talk about what a great sermon it is, and it'd be totally different about anything he just said because their mind was somewhere else, you know. but they feel like they're supposed to tell the preacher it was a good sermon, so they shake his hand and say, thanks for the sermon about such and such. Didn't even talk about that. Somehow or another, we get off base real easy if we're not careful. And so this morning, let's not get off base. Let's take a look about what the Scripture teaches as it relates to who Jesus is and what God has accomplished in Him on our behalf. And the focus of it being in Him is going to be crucial, and we're going to address a couple of topics that seems to be real debatable in Christianity, but I'm going to be clear about where I stand on it, and you can like it or lump it, and you might go out here on a different page, and I'm okay with that. I'll still be all right. I'll sleep tonight. Hopefully you will be too, right? We'll be able to just say, okay, we just want to follow what we understand the Scripture teaches. So you'll understand what I'm talking about when I get there in just a minute. Really, it's going to be in this first topic. Let's look at verse 3 for a second, and you can kind of pull these verses up as you will, Stephen, as we go through there. But we're going to look at 6 different in Him references in these first 13 verses. We're told in 6 different places God has accomplished something pretty significant, and it was accomplished in Christ. Nobody else had anything to do with it. It was all done in who Christ is. Okay? So the first one we're going to look at is this reality that in Him is found every spiritual blessing. That's wrapped up in who God is. Now look in verse, this is verse 3, yeah, okay. And so as we look at this, we find out that because of what Christ did, it says, God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Him. In what He has accomplished for us. And as you look at this passage, you realize that He's done that as a pathway to knowing Him. That this first blessing we get, this spiritual blessing in Christ, happens to be about whether we're going to know Him at all. As a matter of fact, if you go on in the passage, it references that it was done in that we were chosen in Him. Look at verse 4, that we were chosen in Him. That's one of these blessings. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How has He blessed us? We're going to look at 4 ways He's blessed us. In Him, we find every spiritual blessing. Well, first thing is that we are blessed in that He provides a pathway to relationship with Him. Now go to that next slide for a second. 2 slides, maybe. That's the first one. One of the first parts of the blessing that we have in Him is a path to know Him. In verse 4, it talks about that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Oh, my man, I know where your mind's going. We're in this battle these days, right? Within the kingdom of God. Oh, now let's talk about some predestination, right? Before the foundation of the world, it says, right? And our mind quickly goes to the passages that talk about, oh, before I was ever born, He knew I was in my mother's womb. So, oh, and God knows everything. His foreknowledge tells you about everything. And so our minds and our concepts of sovereignty come into play. And we begin to think, oh, chosen in Him maybe really means this predestination concept of God picking Connie, but saying, sorry, Amos, you don't make it. Do you realize there's people out here who believe that? Maybe some of you believe that. I don't want to pick on you today. I'm just going to tell you I disagree with you. Can you love me still if I disagree with you on that? I don't think I can hold that position because of so many other places in Scripture that reveal to me that it's not God's desire that any should perish, but He wills that all would come to Him through repentance. That it's also a place in Scripture that whosoever will may come. That He's drawing people to Himself, but He desires desperately for us to make a honest choice to open our heart toward Him and surrender to Him, inviting Him into our life. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. I'm not going to knock your door down. If you would open the door, I'll come into you and sup with you and you with me. I mean, we can go on and on about why I see that, but I just want you to know one of the blessings of God is that He's chosen us in Him, and the key is in Him. So is there any place in the Scripture that God would foreordain certain things to be true? Absolutely there is. Let me illustrate it. God has foreordained that an orange tree will bear oranges. Don't go up to an orange tree and expect to pull a banana. Won't happen. Okay? God has foreordained also that if anyone would come to relationship with Him, he would come to that relationship in Christ. There's your understanding of predestination, in my humble opinion. That God has chosen before the foundation of the world that if you will have a relationship with Him on a personal basis, it will come through Jesus Christ. It will be found in Him. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. So as we go through this, I think you'll start to see how that fits really clear. Now, here's why it blessed my socks off when I finally got a hold of that. Because as a young preacher, I was getting called into the ministry to share the Word of God, and I would get just really bent out of shape when I couldn't make sense of two different places in Scripture. And this was one of those. I couldn't get my mind wrapped around how can I be chosen in God and how can I somehow also have some sense of whosoever will? How can those live in the same planet? I mean, if you picked me and not you before the foundation of the world, what's whosoever will got to do with it? But then when I got a hold of this passage to understand, it's He preordained before the foundation of the world that you can't get there any other way. By the way, did Jesus ever say anything like that? He did. He said something pretty strong like that. No man, that includes you too, women, no one will come to the Father, how's the rest of it say? Except by me. Jesus affirmed this when He was walking on there. This is the plan of God. It's to bless you and to bless me in a spiritual blessing that we might have a relationship with Him for all eternity in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you'd love to me just spend the rest of the time battling this doctrinal predestination versus free will thing. But I just gave you it in a nutshell. If you want to talk more about it, I can talk to you about it for hours. I sent a video out to the elders the other day. They probably got bored to tear with it. I don't know. But I love studying this thing. About 20, 25 years ago, I spent almost 5 years reading everything I could possibly read on Calvinism and predestination. Some of y'all that knew me then will probably remember me listening to all this stuff. Armchair theologian, put out this thing about Calvinism. And then I read everything I could possibly read about Arminianism and free will. And I wanted to look at those two things together so that I could learn how to communicate this in a way that didn't have conflicts. And so I love this issue, and I could talk to you about it for hours, but I just want to submit to you that I think the core of the crust is your predestination wraps around the concept of being predetermined that you can only have a relationship with God in Him. That's why we in Christianity are so strong about that topic. That's why the rest of the world looks at us kind of harsh and says, well, you guys are kind of arrogant. Well, yeah, I'm just telling you what the Word says, though. I didn't say it. So we're blessed to have a relationship with God in Him. Also, we find out that in Him, in this spiritual blessing, we get to have the blessing of being holy and blameless. Whew. Let that sink in for a minute. How many of you are holy in your flesh, in and of yourselves? Because some of you at spiritual would answer this correctly. But how many of you in and of yourselves are holy and blameless? Better not have any hands go up. Because we got some problems if you think that. But how many of you understand, and I hope you do, that because of what Jesus Christ did for you, you have now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that because of what Jesus Christ did for you in Him, you are holy and blameless. Whew. Now that's deep stuff. That means when Jesus looks at me, when God looks at me, he says, hey, Chris, you know, I see you through the prism of Christ. I see you as forgiven, without fault, without wrinkle. Does that mean that I can just live any old way I want to? Paul says, may it never be. You're getting off base if you're thinking that way. But what Paul was wanting, that's back in Romans, if you want to check that out, okay? Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, those passages right there really help kind of clear this up if you read them all together and read them along with this context. But as you read that, you got to get under the understanding that he's not saying you got a ticket to go do anything you want, but he wants you to know your identity, who you are, is a person that has been folded into Christ. That's why I love Colossians chapter 3 that says this. You are hidden. In other words, you can't be seen. You are hidden with Christ in God. God sees you in Christ. Now, what's he see when he sees Christ? Holy and blameless. So the word tells us that here in Ephesians, that in him you are holy and blameless. Can you imagine that in verse 4? That we would be holy and blameless before him. That's the blessing of the spiritual blessings in Christ. Another one, that's two. How about three? Here's another one. In verse 5 we see it. We have the blessing of being adopted in him, through him. In other words, I was outside the family, now I'm inside the family. And I only get inside the family by my relationship with him. As I've come into a relationship with Jesus, I've gone from being one of those outside the blessing of the family of God to being one of those inside the blessing of the family of God. And you've got all this place, all these things in Scripture that talk about God choosing his own people, the Israelites, to picture to the world what it means to be his people. And now because of Christ, I've been brought in him to be part of that fold. And because of that, I have a relationship with God as one of God's people. That happened in him. Adopted through him. Yeah, you, now, do you see yourself this way? I mean, get a hold of this, because God doesn't want you going around letting the devil beat you up the rest of your life. Do you see yourself as a child of God, a son or daughter? Or do you see yourself as one kind of outside the camp? I mean, if you have come to God in relationship in Christ Jesus, God says you're a son or a daughter. You've been adopted into the family. Don't let the devil or anybody else tell you any different. That's the blessing, the spiritual blessing that comes your way by being in him. The last thing of the spiritual blessing is the fact that he bestows on us, in verse 6 there, he bestows on us his grace. That's amazing. The blessings of his grace. So in Christ, the first thing we had was, in him you have all the spiritual blessings of God. And we've seen those four spiritual blessings. A path to knowing him, an ability to be found holy and blameless, an awareness that I am one of the children of God, I'm adopted into the family, and I now experience the blessing of his grace being bestowed upon me. I can't get my words out. Let's read the verse 6 for a moment together. To the praise and glory of his grace, which he reluctantly passed on to you when you really need it. It's not the way it is it? Which he gladly passed on to you. He passed on to you that grace freely, joyously. So that's step one of being in him. Now, good news for you, that's the longest of the next 4 points, okay? But I just want you to get a hold of that for a moment, that when you think about your relationship with God, you need to sometimes take the time to break it down in your mind and see all that God has accomplished. Because if you're not aware of that and if you don't mature in that concept, you're going to be a pot shot for the devil. He's going to come along and just try to make you feel like you're the scum of the earth every chance he gets. But if you're aware of who you are in Christ, you're able to stand back up on your two feet in Christ, in the armor of God, and say, no, that's not how God looks at me now. God says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God says I'm holy and blameless. God says I'm a child of God. God says that He's given me His grace freely and bestows it on me so that I can face the things that life has to come. So when the enemy starts to attack you because you have fallen down in some way, anybody ever had that happen in your life? Instead of wallowing in the mud and letting the devil kick you and cause you to stay in the mud, why don't you say instead, well, wait a minute, I'm righteous in Christ Jesus, so I'm going to get up as a righteous man in Christ Jesus, because the righteous man falls many times but gets up because of who he is. He's holy and blameless in Christ. Okay, so want to get a hold of this as we go through. The second thing I want you to see as we relate to Jesus and everything being about Jesus in our walk with God is that in Him, you are found to be redeemed from sin. In Him is found redemption from sin. No other place. No other place. Look at it in verse 7, just to remind us again. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to His grace. How? Through His blood. Sacrifice paid on your behalf. Nothing you did, nothing you earned. Total gift of God for you. And that redemption, according to that verse, includes His forgiveness. You know, we know the scripture and the teaching that how God separates our sin as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. The enemy is what? He's an accuser. He wants to constantly come back and remind you of how filthy and dirty you are. And God wants to instead remind us that because of the redemption of Christ, we have forgiveness, and that forgiveness has separated that thought from God as far as the east is from the west. And so I may be going back to God for something I've already sought forgiveness for in Christ when I came to Him and feeling bad over it, and God saying, what in the world are you talking about? That is gone and separated. Well, what if I should, you know, mess up in my relationship with God along the way? Well, we have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, that helps us come to grips with that, and we get forgiveness relationally in our daily walk with Him constantly. So in Him, we have redemption, supplied by His grace, again, that He just decided to give you a little when you need it. No, which He lavished on you. Just dumped it out and poured it out. Then another thing you see in this passage in verse 8 is in Him, we have the mystery of His will provided toward us. Now, I love this section. I love what Colossians teaches about it and how we get a hold of what it really means to walk in the mystery of God. He reveals His wisdom and His insight for us to know what He's really done for us. Now, what is it I'm talking about? Well, first, look at verse James 1:5. Reminds us that if we lack wisdom, we ask of God, He gives it to us generously without holding back. And we receive it from Him. That wisdom coming into our life to understand. Do you believe this? God wants you to understand what He's done for you. He wants you to understand it. How many of you know when you understand something, you're much more confident about it? I mean, that's true in all areas of life. It's true in your spiritual life too. When you understand what God's really done for you, in His relationship, in your relationship to Him through Jesus, you end up having a better handle on it. So the mystery of His will provided in you through wisdom there in verse 8 as we read it together. Go back to verse 8 for a minute. Which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Go to verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of His will. That's where I got the point. He made known to us the mystery of His will. What in the world is the mystery of His will? Colossians 1:27. Simply put, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now think about that. Christ in me? That I could walk around in this world with God living in me through the person of Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit? That's a mystery. How can that happen? I don't get it all. I don't know how it happened, but I know it did. I know he's changed me. I know his presence is there. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. The mystery is aimed at summing up all things in Christ. Go ahead, verse 10. It's all broken down as we go through this passage with a view of an administration or an understanding suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. You know, sometimes people will make the comment about us Christians, well, you think everything's about Jesus. Yep, I do. Every bit of it. I mean, that's all you all want to do is talk about Jesus. Yeah, I hope so. You know, Joel and I have this conversation now and then we talk about, because this is one of the tricks of the devil is this, to get you to think in your relationship with God that it's Jesus and you got to have just a little bit extra. The latest, greatest thing coming down the Bible pipeline, you know. The latest, greatest revelation that somebody has come up with about the nuance of one particular scripture in the entire Bible. And they've built an entire, ministry on that particular phrase. Is that bad? I'm not saying that's bad. But when somehow or another you end up needing something more than just Jesus to find your self-fulfillment, your place of confidence with God, your place of assurance, then there's a problem. Jesus solves all of that. So we need to always be building on that relationship with Jesus constantly. That's why Jesus said to Martha, hey, you're busy about doing a bunch of stuff, but look at Mary, she did the right thing. She's just content to sit at my feet. Let me just say this to you. Don't ever outgrow your desire to fall deeper in love with Jesus. Don't ever let that happen to yourself. Don't ever let the tangent in biblical exegesis become more important than the core of the Bible, who is Jesus. So fall in love with him deeper and deeper. So as we look at all the things God's done for us in him, we see a lot of stuff that's happened there that God's provided for us and placed in our life because of who he is. So we have found redemption from sin, and we find this mystery of the awareness that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Then if you go to verse 11, you find out that in him we have an inheritance. Wow. We kind of like that, don't we? Anybody like to inherit stuff? And some of the stuff you inherit, you like. Some of it you don't, right? Man, sometimes you inherit somebody's garage full of junk, right? Here's good news for you. There is no junk in the inheritance from God. It's all keeper stuff. He's provided for us in relationship with him the inheritance of his children. Let's look at how the scripture breaks that down. But in verse 11 it says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, which was what? That we would be found in him to have relationship with him, who works all things after the counsel of his will. This is God's plan for us. It's been predetermined that all who are saved in Christ Jesus, that are in him, would be able to receive his inheritance. And part of that inheritance is that you will be conformed to his image. We are going to get the inheritance of becoming more like Jesus in our walk with him. And that, boy, that's bonus. Big time bonus. Joint heirs according to Romans 8:17. And if children, you are heirs, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In other words, this is a real relationship we're talking about. Everything that's in him, I'm in. I'm not just in pieces and parts. But when I know I'm in that relationship with him, I have all the inheritance coming my way that is his. Could spend a whole nother sermon on every one of these things, couldn't we? There's so much in the scripture on all this. Paul has really, through the Holy Spirit, power-packed this chapter 1 of Ephesians, this first half of it, to get us to get a handle on what God has really done for us. So you're going to need to take some time go back and reread this chapter and really unfold it and really think about these things we're talking about, because there's a whole lot that God's accomplished in you because of you finding a relationship in Him. Now, the last one's going to be found in verses 12 and following. And it's really kind of a double whammy here. You know, I'm going to put 5 and 6 together. There's two kind of referenced here together. And it's going to talk about now this presentation of God Himself in personal form inside of you because of being in Him. So let's look at verse 12 and following together. Oh, I get caught up in this thing all the time. Sorry about that. There we go. Excuse me. Let's go on to verse 13. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, earlier I was talking about, you know, those conditions you see there. You know, there's some responsibility involved there, right? That's why I say these things have to somehow jive in my mind. I just can't stay on one topic. It's got to come together. So those things take place. When that happens, in Him, you are sealed. You ever wonder where we get this idea of the security of the believer? And what's that doctrinal phrase all about, the security of the believer? Well, when you're really in Him, you're always in Him. If you're really in Him, you can never not be in Him. Why? Because you're sealed. What's that mean? That means you're encompassed, you know, tight. I mean, it's totally surrounded. It's a stamp, a seal upon you, and it's a done deal. And by the way, who does the sealing? Did you do the sealing? Jesus did the sealing. And when God does the sealing, does God do a pretty good job? I would say He does a pretty good job. By the presence of His Holy Spirit in my life, as a matter of fact, that presence over this Holy Spirit in my life affirms the fact that He sealed me in Him. And so it's a completed work by God that in Him I find the sealing of the Holy Spirit saying, done deal, finished, I'm His. You know how I get excited on this topic. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and the reality that once you are the Lord's, you're the Lord's. And no debate anymore, no confusion about it anymore. When you're sealed in Him, you become the second part of this thing in Him. You become His possession. You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, what we just talked, with a view to the redemption of God's what? Own possession. To the praise of His glory. In Him, I'm not just sealed, I'm purchased. And that purchasing is ownership. No wonder you have verses like this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. We looked at this not too many weeks ago. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And he got there because of what Christ did. In Him, He provided the way for the Holy Spirit to be in you, whom you have from God, and here it is, and that you are not your own. In Him, I became the property of God. And you remember my sermon not too many weeks ago about that. God doesn't come in as a tenant. God comes in as an owner. Don't lose the thought of that. That's so crucial. It says it there in Corinthians to remind us. He purchased for His own, not just residence, possession. In Him, I am sealed by the Holy Spirit, and I become the property of God by the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, I get all the benefits of that. That's why He can say you get an inheritance. That's why He can say you get everything that comes to Jesus. That's why He can say all the spiritual blessings come along with that. All that's part of the package because you're His. Totally His. You don't need to walk in this life, though you may find the attack of the enemy as a temptation and as an effort to create doubt and all that. You don't need to walk in ambiguity about whose you are. The scripture is very clear that once you come to relationship with God in Christ, you are His. And you need to be able to, in your relationship, get so a hold of that, that when the enemy comes to tempt you, you're able to say to him, no, that's not true. When he tries to come and say, well, maybe you're not the Lord's, because you're not getting everything that you thought you would get when you become the Lord's. Now, that's twisted thinking, but that's the way some people's Christianity is. They think their Christianity is about, I get Jesus in my life, and when Jesus is in my life, everything goes the way I think it's supposed to go. You got that out of the Bible, because it's not in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying there? A lot of people say you got it out of the Bible, meaning it's in the Bible. I'm telling you, you got it out of the Bible because it's not in the Bible. That's not the promise of God, that if you give your heart to God, that everything will go the way you want it to go. If you give your heart to God, everything will go the way it's supposed to go. That's the promise of God. And you will find His strength to deal with whatever comes in life this way, but you'll never have to worry about whether or not God is with you in the midst. He's always there. He's always strengthened. And He'll always guide you also to know how to move through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever it might be in your life right now. I can preach a whole nother sermon. I'm past my time, but you know what I'm saying here. God wants us to have a sense of confidence in our relationship with Him. He wants us to know that when we got Jesus, we got the whole Monty. We got it all. We got everything that's necessary. I love this verse. Some of you heard me use it a lot years ago. Maybe I need to resurge it a lot. That whole concept that God has given you everything that pertains to godliness in Christ Jesus. Everything that pertains, and there's a part of that I left out. Let me restate it. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Nothing is missing. So how do I get a deeper handle on this as a believer to grow spiritually in this? I dive into knowing more about who Jesus really is in me. I begin to learn who I really am and what my identity is in Christ, so that I can stand against the enemy when he comes and fights me, when he creates that confusion, when he tries to lie to me and tell me something I'm not. And I'm able to stand in Christ because I'm confident. I met with a guy not too many weeks ago, going through a struggle. I'm trying to counsel him through that. He's telling me the things that he got involved in. Somebody you don't know, so don't try to figure it out. And so as we're talking, you know, he's trying to explain to me that what he's been through and asking me about his relationship. He's really still okay, right? And I said, well, I don't know the answer to that yet. What do you mean? Well, I don't know what happened when you really gave your heart to the Lord, quotes. He said, what do you mean? I said, only you and God know the sincerity of your commitment of your heart to the Lord. Do you feel confident about that? Yeah, I do. I said, okay, well, then you just answered your question about everything else. Well, what do you mean? Okay, you're the possession of Christ. You gave your heart to the Lord, right? Yeah. What would he say about this when you're asking me if it's okay to continue in this and still know that you're going to heaven? What would he say about this? Well, it's pretty easy. I know what he would say about this, but I'm struggling. I know he wants me to be happy. Well, where did you get that? He wants you to be filled with his joy, but he never said that you should deny what he wants and the things he wants for your life so that you could be happy. He never said that. You're his. You're sure about that. If you're really sure about that, this is an easy answer. I just want to do what he wants me to. I'm going to alter my life. I'm going to make changes I got to make because I'm his. And so as I walk in that, guess what? The enemy loses. He loses ground to accuse me. He loses ground to come and create doubt in me. He doesn't have the ability to come and cause me to think I'm not who I am, because I know who I am. I've settled that. I'm in the Lord. And in Him, I have all these things that we've just looked at as a believer. Well, we're going to be going through Ephesians, not just for those who are the saints, but those who are faithful and wanting to walk in the maturity of being a saint. And as we walk through Ephesians, you're going to see that Paul saying, let's go deep here. Let's not just scratch the surface. Let's talk about what it really means to be the Lord's and how to walk in Him. And the provision He made through the cross, the provision He proved through the resurrection, and for you to walk in His identity knowing that you are in Him. Ooh, that's pretty exciting to me. I don't know about you, but I like to know. You know, we talk about it all the time, we don't know what we don't know. But I like to really know what I say I know. I like to know what I think I know. And that's what we're getting here in these passages. Let's pray together.
Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to know more about having a fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ, or you would like to know more about our church, you can visit us again at our website, lhfellowship.com. Or if you would like and you are in the Lexington area, please feel free on Sundays to stop by and worship with us. Our services are held each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We would love to see you there. Until next time, take care and walk in the way of grace.